Hello everyone, you're listening to Off the Record. This is episode 70. I'm Liam, as usual. Why wouldn't it be? Mm-hmm. And Dan is here, as usual.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, actually. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. We just watched the Indie World presentation for this week. A couple of little things here and there that I guess we could talk about. I think we're going to go through it. I've got some notes here. Not a huge one, this one, for me, but some interesting games nonetheless. They started with Hades.
Yeah.
I think it's Supermassive, does that game. And it looks pretty good. Do you know anything about Hades?
I do, because I watched a NoClips documentary on it. They've done like a running documentary where they have, I think it's about three or four parts, and every sort of 6 months they're doing like a, they're like continuously updating and doing like another part, and you know, to see how far on the game's going, because
yeah.
I think it launched on Epic Games, and it was like what do they call it, like a early access sort of game, so it was continuously being updated, but I'm guessing now it's finally finished.
I think it's been in early access for a while.
Yeah.
And when it launches on Switch, it'll be finished.
Yeah,
and it comes out, they said, fall 2020.
Because it's not on other consoles yet. I'm wondering if it's around the same... Is it coming to all consoles at the same time, or is it Switch first?
I got the impression it was going to be Switch first, at least from what I heard there. That's what it seemed to me, that it would be a sort of a timed exclusive deal. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that looks really good. I'm not a roguelike person, but apparently this is more roguelite. Like it has progression.
Yes.
Like permanent progression. That's what I need, really, to put like large amount of time into something like this, I think. I do quite like the occasional roguelite, like Dead Cells, and I got into that game a while ago on the Switch where you build like tanks. Called like Ironclad or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on other platforms, but that game's really good. So occasionally I dip my toes into those particular waters, but I dig the aesthetic of it. I like the idea of it being Hades trying to escape from hell. I think that's pretty interesting. Wonder why he'd be doing that. I don't know.
I think you play the son of the devil, right? Or the son of Hades, right?
Oh, I thought you played as Hades himself.
Oh, do you? Oh, maybe, okay. Maybe you do. Maybe I don't want to spit misinformation, so yeah, you're probably right.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe I'm the one who's spitting misinformation. I don't know. My interpretation was, from what I heard, was you are Hades and you are trying to escape from the underworld and you keep dying and obviously you just go back to your home in the underworld.
You're right. Is Hades the son of someone, though, isn't he, I think, in the Greek mythology? Is he like the son of Zeus or something?
No. Is he not the brother of Zeus?
Is he the brother? Right, okay. Right, fine.
I'm not an expert, mind you.
No.
I would admit that, like, probably half my understanding of Greek mythology comes from from the Hercules movie. Yeah, the Disney movie. But I know in that he's the brother of Zeus.
Right, okay.
Like, all of my knowledge about Greek mythology is a patchwork from stuff like God of War and Hercules and, like, other movies that I've watched. But there you go. So that's out this year. There was another game, which I think looks really good, very wholesome-looking, Spiritfarer. Which is a side-scrolling adventure. Did you catch that one?
I did. Well, remind me of what this one was again. I know you said side-scrolling adventure, but...
There were a fair amount of those in this presentation.
Yeah.
So it was... you are like a young girl who has a cute little-looking like little dog thing, and you are apparently ferrying souls to the underworld. And you're on a boat... For some of it, it seems like, and there's like a lot of furry characters, including like a dog and like a shark man and stuff. And they showed like some animated cutscenes, it seemed like, or maybe that was just for the trailer. I don't know, but it looked very wholesome, very sweet. I would definitely play that. Like, this is out today. This was something they'd shown a while ago, I think, in a previous Indie World. By the way, I still can't get with this Indie World theme shit. Where's Nindies? Yeah. That was way better.
That guy left, right? The guy who did Nindies for Nintendo. Is that correct?
D- Damon Baker.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, that was my theory, right? Was that he left until they changed the name. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But just Indies rolled off the tongue better, I feel like. It's more memorable than Indie Worlds. Mm. The branding was way better. Anyway, though, Spiritfarer looks pretty nice. Any interest in that?
Yeah, I think that looks... If that's the one I'm thinking of off the top of my head, yeah, that did look pretty damn cool. Of all the games here, that was like sort of up there with the games I was interested in, even though I've already forgotten which one it was.
Yeah, it does look pretty good. There was Garden Story next up, which is kind of a cute top-down like pixel art game.
It's got nothing to do with Golf Story, right? It's a completely different dev.
No, this is something else, I think. This is... I guess there are more than one game down with story in the title.
Because I know that they're doing Sports Story, right? Those devs, that's the true. Golf Story people, right? Okay, right, fine.
Well, that was a thing, right? People were wondering when they announced the Indie World where that was going to be, and it didn't show up eventually. Apparently, it's been pushed back a bit.
Yeah, they released the trailer.
Delayed indefinitely.
Yeah, they released the trailer yesterday, basically saying that it's been delayed. So that I was not surprised that it wasn't there today, just purely based on that.
Yeah. But there was Garden Story, another kind of cute pixel art top-down adventure game where you play as a little grape man, mm-hmm. and you're cultivating a community. Not particularly interesting to me, but it looks very nice, very mm-hmm. cute.
Yep.
That's out next year. Did you ever play Golf Story, by the way?
No, I didn't. It looked cool, but I just never got around to getting it.
Me too. I always, that is one of the few Switch games, like the big heavy hitters, that I missed out on. And I always get people be like, what? You've not played Golf Story, Liam? What kind of a Nintendo fan are you? Anyway, though, there was this game that kind of caught my attention. I thought it looked really pretty. Takashi and Hiroshi. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing those names right. Probably not. But it's like a story-driven game where you're building an RPG for your little brother. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah, I did. This looks really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I like games like that.
Yeah.
That sort of play around with the idea of game development as a mechanic in the game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that looked really nice. Sort of experimenting with different art styles, like 2D for the game, and then a sort of a 3D, almost like stop motion looking like cutscenes. They showed that those look really nice.
Yeah, I'm looking back at the trailer right now, and it's just like, yeah, this is a... I almost forgot about this game until you just brought it up now. But yeah, I remember watching this thinking this looked really cool.
Yeah, sure.
Basically, yeah, I think that game looks really cool. Loads of these games, I will say this right now, I feel like I might be repeating myself of saying, oh, this game looked cool, because most of the games we saw for like, what, 20 to 30 seconds at a time, it was like, oh, that looks interesting, and then let's move on to the next one. It's quite sort of fast-paced mm-hmm. in terms of like the overall showcase, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I think like I would have appreciated these games a bit more if they were given a bit more time, or you know, if they expanded upon them a bit, because they did start to blur together a little bit towards the end, especially when they went into the montage. Nonetheless, though, I do individually think like all the games I've got here look nice in their own different ways. I didn't think there was anything there of them. Maybe it's the cards game where I felt like, oh, I'm not interested in this. There was something reasonably big news, I would say, and that's Subnautica coming to the Switch, which is out next year. I know you've played this, so what did you think of that?
I played it through Game Pass, and I didn't like this game at all. Like, it was one of those like survival style games where you're just kind of thrown into like the middle of an ocean. Really cool premise. Like, you essentially crash land on a water planet, and you're tasked with kind of discovering the depths. And there's something in me that I really don't like survival games where you have to worry about your hunger meter, your water meter, your all these energy meters. And then you like craft in like items. It's a game where you need to like make certain equipment and stuff. And it's like, okay, collect like 500 of these things and 200 of these things. And like, ugh, like scrolling and going through the sea and like defeating enemies to get certain elements and stuff, to craft certain things, and it wound me up when I was constantly looking at a hunger meter. Luckily, there is like a passive mode or whatever you want to call it. I forget what they call it in this, but essentially you can get rid of the hunger and...
Okay.
I think you can change mid-game, but I started again and got rid of those meters, and the game was more enjoyable, but it just became very grindy.
Mm.
Like, I fell off of that game before I think I saw most of what that game had to offer, because I... From what I've seen, even that trailer, I was like, wow, I didn't see half of that stuff in that game, unless that's updates or something, because I played it about a year or so ago. I don't know. It wasn't a game for me, put it that way.
I've never played it, but it sort of gave me vibes of something like Endless Ocean on the Wii.
I mean, Endless Ocean's more of, it's so much more like a sort of placid game, I guess. It's more relaxing, whereas Subnautica, yeah, there's a bunch of like creatures and shit trying to kill you at every angle. I don't know, like, it gave me vibes of a little bit of, I don't know if you played The Outer Wilds that came out last year.
No.
That's not the game where it's like, explore and find certain things, and that was probably more sort of my pace, but similar to Subnautica, it's a game where everyone loved, and I played it and tried to get into it and just bounced off it real hard.
Right. It doesn't sound up my street. When you started describing hunger meters, I don't like that shit. I have enough hunger meters in real life. I don't need any more. So, fuck that. There was Raji, which I think this was shown for the first time.
Yeah.
Like a 3D action adventure game. Very cool.
Yeah.
Like Middle Eastern aesthetic to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the visual art style. I think it's really cool looking.
Yeah, and that's out today. It's a timed console exclusive.
Hmm.
Not much more to say about it than that, but very cool.
Yeah.
I noticed there were a lot of diverse faces in this Direct.
Yeah.
I feel like what they're quite good at doing in these Indies Directs is showcasing the diversity of game dev talents that is working on the Switch. Hmm. That's something that they're pretty good at highlighting. Well,
those devs were from India as well, and it's like, I don't think I could name a single dev that I've ever heard of from India.
Yeah.
So it's cool that we've got, you know, it looks like a game even based on like the sort of mythology, or at least like the land of India as a whole, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cool to see people from different parts of the world mm-hmm. making games that are steeped in their own culture. Yeah. So that's really nice to see. There was Bear and Breakfast, which I like the look of this. I thought this looked cute. I thought it was pretty cute. You play as Hank the Bear building a B&B for humans.
I didn't realize that was actually the premise. Now I'm more interested in the game.
Yeah. You are a bear living in the woods, and you build a bed and breakfast. Hence, Bear and Breakfast. It sort of reminded me of that cartoon, Wee Bear Bears. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, man, that's awesome. It's on Cartoon Network.
Okay.
I bet there'll be people listening who know what I'm talking about. It's pretty popular. It's very popular in, like, Korea and Asia and stuff. And it's really good. It's really fucking good.
Uh-huh.
A very wholesome show about three bears who live in the woods out on the outskirts of, like, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just act like three like roommates, you know, like three like hipster roommates, and it's really cool. It's really a sweet show,
uh-huh.
and I'd recommend it. And this gave me a lot of vibes of this because they are bears, but they interact with humans and act a lot like them. Anyway, this looks nice. This is a timed exclusive out next year. Manifold Garden was the next game that they showed. I might be missing some here. I don't know. This isn't a complete list. This is sort of the ones that I thought were interesting and cool.
Well, there was one that I saw. I think that at least it was on the list for I've got next. It's called A Short Hike. Do you remember that one? Where it was like that weird like PlayStation 1 looking game where you're like a little penguin.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That looked really nice. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. It sort of reminded me of like, yeah, PS1, sort of,
like
Nintendo
DS.
Yeah, Nintendo DS sort of visual style with it's sort of polygonal and a bit sort of blurry.
Yeah.
That looked really nice. I don't know what you do in it, but it looked cool.
It just looked like a cool like adventure platformer or something. Like you just kind of, it looks like you're just going up a mountain, I guess. Like it's just, I don't know. Like It was a game that, like, at least visually, like, really sort of stood out to me.
Yeah, looked nice. Anyway, Manifold Garden is a first-person platformer. That kind of caught your eye. It sort of looked... I think you mentioned it looked a bit like Portal when we were watching
it.
And, yeah, it looked pretty cool. There's a lot of games like that, but I like the visual style.
Yeah. I mean, I said this when we were watching it at the time. I'm a real sucker for these, like, indie Portal-style games, and, like, this looks like another one of those, like, yeah, like a visual sort of, like, trickery puzzle game that... It kind of reminds me a bit of Cube. Cube 2 was pretty cool, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember those games. I think I got one of those through, like, Games with Gold or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty decent.
What was that weird, like, PC game that came out about 5 years ago now that was all about, like, sort of changing your perspective and you're looking through weird, like, portal things and it changes and... Oh, what was it called, like... Antimatter or something? I can't remember what it was now. Anyway.
I don't know. Is this another Portal like?
Yeah, pretty similar. Like, it came out, like, I feel like loads of games hit Steam and PC around, like, after Portal came out, like, changed the sort of landscape.
It is its own genre, in a sense, isn't it? Like, there's so many.
Like, first-person puzzle games.
Well, yeah, first-person puzzle games and ones that are particularly, like, reminiscent of Portal. Mm-hmm. It was very influential. Mm. There was one game that kind of you and I were shitting on a little bit, which was this Evergates thing. And not that it looked bad or anything, but it just looked like very derivative of Ori and the Blind Forest, like to quite an astonishing degree. Like, you said to me, this looks like Ori. Yeah. Is this Ori? And then... And then, like, not only does the visuals look like it, the mechanics, the traversal, and how you kind of flick yourself looks very Ori.
The main character.
Yeah, the main character. And to top it off, there's a big bird, which there is in Ori, isn't
it? It was
there?
One of those weird things where, like, I pointed out that, it looks like Ori. Then, like, more and more of this trailer were like, oh, that looks like Ori. Wow, that's very Ori-esque. And then you're like, yeah, you pointed out the mobility, the movement sort of stuff. And then, yeah, to top it off at the end, like, that bird was just like, we're just watching it, like, going, wow, this... Do you think they're inspired by Ori? Because this game looks very much like that game.
I find it awkward, you know, when you see games that are obviously inspired by something else and they don't acknowledge it. They don't just say, like, oh, we were inspired by Ori and the Blind Forest. You know, we drew upon some of our favorite games, like X and Y.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if I made a game that was that derivative, I would acknowledge it openly and be like, I was inspired by this. But maybe they just don't want to draw attention to it.
Yeah, and it kind of made me feel almost bad for shitting on the game in that way, because, like, then the dev came on screen and they're really, like, talking, like, so positively about the game, and just, like you say, kind of wanting to say, we were inspired by this game and this game. And it's like, okay, at least you acknowledge the obvious, sort of the elephant in the room.
Yeah, I don't mean to be mean to them or anything like that. There was something awkward about watching it and thinking, like, I've played a lot of Ori and... I mean, yeah, it was very obvious to me what it was drawing upon. But they ended with one more surprise. And, you know, not a huge thing, but Untitled Goose Game is getting free co-op this September. Yeah, I think this is something they should have always had. I'm honestly surprised they didn't save this for a sequel, because I think you and I, or maybe it was me and Kirsten, I don't know, had a conversation about this a while ago, and I said for the sequel they should make it co-op two players or something and have it be called Untitled Geese Game.
Yes.
But they're just doing it as a free thing, so cool.
Yeah, like we always said this as well while watching it, like, yeah, this looks like a really cool, it's free, so brilliant, like you haven't got to pay for it's just a cool co-op mode. But like you say, it kind of is bizarre that it's not like at least an expansion or like it's not like a sequel, because this just feels like the same game. There's no like new missions seemingly. There were some different items. Yeah. Like I noticed there was like playing with an umbrella, which I know that sounds mad. Like, oh, I noticed an umbrella that I don't remember in the original game. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it works. Like, is it just the same mode or is it separate? Will there be new objectives? I assume there will be. You know, the checklist that you have in the game, I'm wondering if they're expanding that for the co-op. If they do, I might play it again, but I'm not like hugely, you know, I don't feel like utterly pumped to play more of this if it's just the same locales and set pieces.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see how people receive it and if it's particularly different from the original game. Overall, though, I thought this was okay. Not a whole lot jumped out at me. Spiritfarer looks nice. Hades looks interesting.
Hypnospace Outlaw is coming as well. That was the thing we didn't mention. But I don't know if you... Do you know what that game is? It's like a weird, like a narrative point-and-click sort of... You're exploring like a 1990s desktop internet sort of thing. And I don't know the main hook of the game, but like you essentially are clicking around and, you know, finding weird things.
I did see that,
and there's a demo on the store, so I've got it downloaded and I will play that, but I don't know. I don't know. It's supposed to be... I know it's got some fans of that, so that was an interesting addition, even though I'm not sure if it'd be my thing.
That's been out before, has it?
Yeah, that's... I think it's only on PC, though, so like, there's a few games here today, like, you know, Hades especially, sort of like, oh, that's cool that like these PC games that have a little bit of a following are seemingly first coming to Switch when it comes to console.
Yeah, pretty cool. A lot of games out today. Well, actually, we didn't mention it, but that Evergate game is out today as well, and so is Manifold Garden. So there's like five or six games there that are shadow dropping out of nowhere. I might get that Spiritfarer thing. That looks interesting. Is there anything there that you thought that you would pick up?
I've already forgotten the names of them, but that first person one we're talking about, the puzzler, that sort of Portal-esque game. That
Manifold
one,
Garden.
That's the one. That one, and then the hike one, just because of the art style. Like, it might not even be a good game, like, just is the art style really, really spoke to me for some reason.
Yeah, I think in these indie world things, often the things that stick out the most are the ones with the most striking and unique art styles, because a lot of them... And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but a lot of them are quite like, you know, a lot of pixel art, top-down games, roguelikes and stuff like that.
I've just looked, actually, and I can see all the games that are on there, and that A Short Hike is on there right now, and it's £5.66, and I'm definitely going to get that. I don't even know it's supposed to be good.
Huh?
But the fact that it's like less than a 10, I'm like, yeah, sod it, why not?
Yeah, you go be a guinea pig for that and tell us how it is.
Yeah. I will do. I'll come back next time and I'll let you know how good it is.
Cool. Interesting. I'm probably gonna get Spiritfarer. I might wait for the reviews, but I am looking for something to play. We're kind of in a dearth of games right now on the Switch. First party wise, I mean yes, they have had some games recently, like Paper Mario, but it not really interests me. Oh, Dan. Yeah, that reminds me, actually, we did get a pretty negative comment.
Oh, did
we? On the previous podcast, Dan, someone calling you out.
Oh, okay.
I have to look this... Give me a second. I'll have to look this up on my phone. I found it. We've got a comment here from Paul. And I don't mean to call you out, Paul. We're not going to be mean to you, unless Dan feels like he needs to be.
No, I mean, I love the fact. I love it when I hear a comment, like responding to anything that we say on the podcast. It's just like nice to get a bit of feedback.
All right, Dan is a massive prick. Okay. No, it doesn't say that. it says I really hate Dan. No, it doesn't. It says the guys describing Paper Mario weren't really doing it much service.
Okay.
For example, saying they have the hint envelopes, but you have to give up an attack to get them, ... not remotely accurate. You can both get a hint and two an attack square, and usually a treasure chest all in one turn.
Yeah.
Also, the coin economy is a lot more balanced than they think. Sounds like they were somewhere around Chapter 2 or early 3. Chapters 3 and 4 give you the ability to skip most combat, and by Chapter 4, I was almost completely out of money. 1 and 2 have more combat to get the player used to it, and after that, the encounters are less often and more varied, with different enemies that make the ring configurations a bit tougher to figure out. What is your response to that, Dan?
Okay, I genuinely like it when I hear comments like that, because sometimes if I'm saying stuff on a podcast and I think, oh, did I interpret my thoughts on it well enough? So I will say this, the point I was getting on with the hint system is that you essentially get three different options to attack when it comes to attacking the bosses. And you can only, for each turn, you can only essentially pick one. So when you use the hint system, you're essentially like still guessing before you get to that, use that attack. So you'll set your route into it, you'll get the hint envelope, but you've already pre-decided your route to get to what attack to choose. So, okay, I wanted to use the elemental, and then I get the envelope beforehand, but I can't change my route now.
Okay.
So I've got the envelope, and then it says, oh, you want to use the thousandfold arms, for example. I'm like, okay, great, well, I've already selected for the elemental, so now I'm having to go and grab the wrong one. I would have preferred to have the hint system be separate to an actual move.
Okay.
And it frustrated me when I would essentially use a move up to go around in my little route, get the envelope en route, but I can't now change my route. I have to stick with the route I've already pre-chosen, and I end up using the wrong attack. And that's frustrating. I feel like I've wasted a move because I didn't know what to use because I had to get the hint envelope beforehand. That's the point I was trying to make on that one, and that was what I found frustrating. Like, if you could just have the hint envelope somehow before you use an attack, then that would be much better, but you don't. What was the other point he was making about the economy thing? So even in the last podcast, I'd already finished the game by then. Jack hadn't. I finished the game, and I had thousands of coins at the end. So I don't know, like, maybe I was... I don't know. What I didn't feel like I explored any more than usual than I would do otherwise in a game. But I just had so many coins in abundance that by the end of the game, I didn't need to spend anything. I just kept spending them on the hint system constantly.
Okay.
And also, yeah, he's right that you can avoid a lot more fights in chapters 3 and 4. I was trying not to spoil too much about those chapters because Jack hadn't got to them at that point. I don't know how far into the game he is now.
Okay.
But yeah, basically, I see where he's coming from, but I disagree still on the economy. I think that it's very skewed towards having way too many coins when you're not finding the combat fun. The idea that you're just avoiding them doesn't make the game good. That does not make the game good now just because the chapters are more lenient on you exploring to avoid the fights. They were better chapters, but they were better chapters because they had less combat, which, like, surely that's a negative point to the game, that you want to avoid, like, the main mechanic of the game.
Well, good to have a friendly dialogue and exchange of things. That's interesting. Thank you, Paul, for your contribution.
I will say as well, just one last thing. If you really enjoy the game, I'm really pleased that you do enjoy the game. That isn't me like being like, oh, you're wrong because you liked it. I'm really pleased that you enjoyed it. And it actually kind of sucks that I didn't enjoy it, but yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. Anytime someone enjoys a game that I didn't like, I always say the same thing. I hope someone else enjoys it more than I did. Because there's a lot of games I can think of for which that is the case.
Control,
yes. I was glad that you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along, though, a couple of little news items that we should talk about. One that I wanted to talk about is kind of like a personal kind of thing that I've been keeping an eye on, sort of talking to a couple of different people about over the past few months. And according to a source that I was speaking to today, Game is in a lot of trouble.
Ooh.
which is our big UK retail store here for video games. To be honest, it's not really like... Half of it isn't even video games anymore. Like it's meant to be the last bastion, like, mainstream game store chain left.
Mm.
But if you go into it now, Dan, I don't know if you go to Game, but it's mostly fucking Funko Pops and Lego and tat like that.
Mm.
It's not as game focused as it once was, is it?
No, and I'll be honest, like, I think on the business side of things, Game was, like, on the decline, has been for years.
Yeah.
And with the COVID situation, I'm pretty sure that has not helped in the slightest. So the fact that they were always seemingly steaming towards, like, this end goal of bankruptcy, whenever that was going to be, and COVID just seems to have sped that process up.
Yeah, I think you are pretty much correct there. COVID has hit them very hard, I hear. Both their stores in Leicester have shut down. So stores are closing, unfortunately. Yeah. I was in a game for the first time since before the pandemic the other day. I went out for a walk and we went in there and it was pretty much just dead, you know. And even the things that were occasionally quite busy, like those computers that you can play at, are now just abandoned. You know, nobody's going out to use those now due to the pandemic. There's nothing bringing people into the stores. One thing I was told as well is that this holiday season is going to be make or break for them. You know, like this could be the end. I personally think if both the consoles come out on time this year, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, if they come out on schedule, and who knows, maybe one of them will slip. We don't know. If all goes ahead, I think that could help them a lot, because we're coming to the end of this console generation. There'll be a lot of people buying those for Christmas. I think that might see them into the next year or so. Would you agree, or do you think it's on its way out?
Yeah, I do. Well, it's always been on its way out, and I do think that essentially I think that the PS5 and Xbox coming out is probably going to prolong and just lengthen their life just ever so slightly, because there'll be a bunch of people going to the stores to buy these systems. But I think, give it a year. Once that sort of hype has died down, I think that these stores are on their last legs anyway, and I'd give it a year or two.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. Let's start a Deadpool for game, you know? What do you think? I'm going to say 2022.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I reckon just the start of the second quarter or something, after the financials. Okay. Do you know what I mean? After about April or something, they'll be like, okay, this isn't going well, this isn't getting any better, and they're probably going to...
Do you remember how we started a sort of a thing like this for Metroid Prime 4? I had totally forgotten what we both said.
I forgot what we said, yeah.
I think we said 2022, 2023, something like that. It was a while ago now, so forgive us. But I feel like I said something like late 2022.
Yeah, I think I said August or something like that of the same year.
Well, we'll check in on that in a few years. Who knows?
You never know. It could, because producers, I guess this is what we're referring to, is Retro recently hired a senior producer or something for this game, for Prime 4. And it's I know that certain producers get hired deep in development for loads of games. Yeah. So I'm not saying that it's impossible for the game to not come out by 2022. By the end of 2022, but it does seem less likely with each passing month.
Well, here's the thing. It's definitely, at least in pre-production, because I've spoken to people who are working on it, you know, it's not some mystical thing that is just kind of in their heads anymore. It is being worked on and has been. I think it's been in pre-production for at least a year now.
Right.
You know, I don't think as soon as they moved everything over in January of 2018 or whatever that was, 2019.
Yeah.
I don't think that was when, things were chugging along and it's going to come out next year or whatever. But I do think it's at least more tangible than some people are giving it credit for, you know. There's a lot of people who think, because they're hiring a new producer, that the game doesn't exist. I did actually ask the couple of people that I do know who are working on it, what would you like to see in the game? And funnily enough, they all said similar things. And this was before it was sort of this was a long time ago, you know, this was when the game was just starting, when Retro had just been handed it. And I'm not sure. Can you guess what's the thing in common that the three people I've spoken to said?
No, go on, tell me.
They wanted Samus to be openly gay. No, they wanted Kraids to be in it.
Okay, that kind of makes sense. But weirdly, all three, though, actually. That is kind of strange.
Well, I think it is just a coincidence, because I don't think they know each other. But I was, we were having a chat about this, and I always just, you know, I ask just to see if there's anything that they want in particular.
Well, Kraid is a fan favourite. He was there in the original, he was there in Super, and he was supposed, he was like, there was a, there's concept art for him in the original Prime.
Well, they almost pretty much built him in, like he was in prototypes, there was a model of him.
Meta, they like, fans dubbed it like Meta Kraid, right, because he had like a metal helmet on or something from memory.
Yeah, that's right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they bring that concept back and like, okay, let's finally bring Meta Kraid into the mix.
Yeah, yeah. I think at a later date it would be fun to speculate upon what we think will be in Metroid Prime 4 and what type of game we think it will be. Obviously, it would be next to baseless what the speculation would be, but it might be fun just to sort of shoot some ideas out there and talk about Psylux again.
Do you, I mean,
that's a good time.
I can remember when the game first got announced and we both, you know, were happy about the reveal and whatnot. And I said to you, oh, it probably, you know, what's the subtitle going to be? And you said, it probably won't be called Metroid Prime 4. It'll probably just be like almost like a soft reboot and Metroid Prime something else. Like, I'm more leaning towards your sort of feeling now that this
I don't remember saying that, to be honest. Like, this was such a long time ago.
I don't know why I don't know why I remember that, but I do distinctively remember that bit. But yeah.
Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, there was a pretty big news story over the past week. I kind of already talked about this with another person on the Liam Unfiltered podcast, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it too, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this whole free Fortnite controversy?
I don't even... I mean, what's been said by most sane people, I can only echo just of... If, like, the whole thing of like, free Fortnite, like, as if it's, like, some big, massive thing that, like, the Epic and Fortnite are being pushed away, I guess, or something like that, as if, like, they really need the help from the fans to rise up against Apple, and it's like, what the fucking... Oh, my word. I hate everything about it from both sides. I hate everything about it that these corporations are sort of using their fans to rally against the other one, and it's just... It's fucking sad. It really is, like... Or like it's an Orwellian future of just like what the corporations fighting against each other.
To me, I don't really care about the whole corporate, you know, cock waving contest. Like, that's whatever. To me, I just kind of feel bad for the people who are implicated by this, the developers, the people who play on iOS, the kids, you know, like. I bet there's tons of kids who just play on their iPhones and iPads.
Yeah, and are confused why they can't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. They won't understand this whole shenanigans with the 30% and all that. So, obviously, I welcome that problem being fixed, but there might have been a more productive way to do this without starting this whole weird arms race with lawsuits and... pulling each other's stuff off each other's stores and whatever, like, it's getting a bit silly. But at the end of the day, I just feel for the people who are affected, not the companies.
Because I don't think anyone's really going to rally behind this other than the kids that won't understand it anyway. And what can they do realistically to help?
Yeah,
they can't really do anything, right? So anyone I think with the same mind and that's over the age of like 14 or 15, whatever, like that understands. Kind of what's going on here probably doesn't care about Fortnite, I'd imagine. That's that bit older. Do you know what I mean? Like, probably is either playing it on PC anyway, or at least on something else that isn't iOS. And I just don't know. I've not seen anyone that's like been really rallying behind either company.
I feel like if we stepped out of our bubble, there's probably a lot of people who are. But I don't particularly care to stick my head into that hornet's nest.
Nor do I.
So, one thing that we should just touch upon, because this is a big news story today, is that there is a controversy related to Rocksteady. So, their game is finally being revealed soon. And amid, you know, that whole thing being in the news, there's like a big controversy that's broken out. A group of women have broken their silence and have shared with The Guardian horrific allegations of sexism, bigotry, very brazen sexual harassment in the workplace there. About a dozen women, I think 10, signed an internal petition to have this stuff, you know, ripped out and to have HR deal with it. And they just haven't, apparently. Apparently, most of the people who signed this internal petition have left the studio. And it's all a big shambles. Did you see any of this? Like, did you watch that video that was posted on Twitter before?
Yeah, so, like, I hadn't heard of any of these allegations or whatever. You messaged me just before we started the recording and said, I watched the video of this. I forget her name now, but she was, the lead writer, I think, or at least one of the senior writers.
Yeah, I think she was the script lead for a while, for right. most of its development up until late last year.
Yeah, and then, so she left late last year after, essentially being pushed out because of the controversy that was going on in Rocksteady. They essentially just got rid of her, and, man, that video is a hard watch, as a fan of that studio and their games. It's hard to watch that, to see that sort of shit not only is still going on, but in a studio that you sort of respect or did respect. And it seems yeah. like a lot of the higher upper management sort of handled this really, really poorly. Or not even handled it poorly, just didn't handle it at all.
It's true. Yeah, I think when I came into writing about games and that, I didn't realize how rampant this shit is. Mm-hmm. And I thought big studios would stomp this stuff out, but they don't. Mm-hmm. It is more rampant in big studios, places like BioWare I've heard stuff about for years, than anywhere else. Like, way more than smaller studios that seemingly, you would think more easily kind of manipulated, but it in these big places like Rocksteady is where this stuff is worse, unfortunately. And obviously it's not acceptable, it's horrible, but it's good that these people are speaking out. It's very brave of them. Mm-hmm. And there's no fucking place for it. We have been having a kind of a Me Too moment in video games this year, haven't we?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And I think the silver lining to this is that, I'll say silver lining, but so she was worried about losing her job. She did lose her job, but she was more worried that, essentially that she wouldn't get credited for the game and that she wouldn't be allowed another job afterwards because of, the stigma that sort of would be surrounding, which is ridiculous because she's the one that's been trying to get this stuff out there because it's bad. And HR was essentially saying that we could make sure that you don't have another job ever again, but... I think she's yeah. working on the new Fable game, right?
I think so.
Playground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her name, by the way, is Kim McCaskill. So I'll throw up the video in the description if you want to watch her discuss about her time at Rocksteady. And incidentally, I don't know if she'll get in trouble for this, but in the video she does actually confirm the name that I'd long been hearing about game.
That definitely crossed my mind as well when she was talking sort of quite candidly about the name of the game and sort of just stuff that was happening. I was thinking, I wonder if this is going to have any bigger ramifications in terms of NDAs that she signed.
That definitely will violate an NDA, I think, and I wouldn't be surprised if they ask her to take that down, knowing how Warner Brothers is. But I know it's a bit inappropriate perhaps to mention this, but it's, I don't know, I'm going for it anyway. She mentions that the name of the game is Suicide Squad's Kill the Justice League, which is the name we'd been hearing. Just as a footnote to that, I looked on her resume on her website, and it's actually Suicide Squad : Kill the Justice League.
Huh.
Maybe that's true, maybe it's not, don't know, but that was on her IMDb, which it looks like she maintains herself.
And it's kill as in singular, not kills.
Kill, yeah, singular. So, I mean, that's just a small footnote in a much more important discussion, but I feel like you and I have been talking, going back and forth about this for a long time, but it's good to hear that. It's interesting to hear that it's Suicide Squad. I think you and I had a sense that was coming for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you excited at all about that?
Well, I was. Now I feel like, even though she says in the video as well about how, don't boycott the game because of this, because there's plenty of people who have worked very hard in this game that deserve the credit that they've put a lot of effort into. This is a really weird time for this shit to come out because it's literally, they've teased the game and now we're in the waiting game of the game being announced and now this happens and they're going to have this great big black cloud over their heads when they reveal this game finally. That's I feel like they either have to wait it out further, push it, postpone it longer in terms of the reveal.
They won't. It's getting revealed, I think, like in about a week or so.
Yeah, which is mad when you think about like this fire is still going to be sort of quite hot by the time this game actually gets revealed.
I hope it finally has an effect.
Oh yeah, good. I'm with you on that. I don't mean to like say that you know that they should get away with this, but like from their point of view of like trying to reveal their game that they've been working on, like oh man, shouldn't die in the first place. That's what you get, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully this does something and they sort their shit out because it's not acceptable. Uh-huh. And, yeah, but I guess we'll continue to monitor that situation going forwards. Mm-hmm. I'm in a bit of a hurry today, so we're going to have to wrap up here. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to plug down before we wrap up?
No, I'm fine, actually. I've been working a couple of bits, but nothing's really like close to being ready, so, yeah.
All right. Right, check out my other podcast that I do, Liam Unfiltered, for more. I'll be working on more stuff in the coming weeks. I've got a new video that I'm working on already. More podcasts on the way soon. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for backing. We'll be back soon with more. Goodbye for now.
Bye.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that. Shout out to my top level backers, Brian Guzman, Don Koopman, Eric Flaris, Eric Schusler, Seanick, Centinator of Team Haruhi, Sesla Cube, Shane Gale, Sketchcraft, and Stuart Radley. Thank you all so much for your support. I really appreciate it. If you want to get your name read out at the end of the show or the start, see your backer tiers on Patreon. There are options for that. And if you want to get more podcasts, check out the other podcast I do. Give us a like on Patreon if you enjoyed this one, and that will really help us out. Until next time, goodbye for now, everyone.